What is up, boys and girls, and everything in between? This is Bear With Us. I'm Matt. She's Leah. Leah, how are you, my dear?
We're at home.
We are home.
That's how I am.
We're going to change things up.
It's this a little, is so weird.
I know. I'm incredibly close to you. It's almost uncomfortable. We're taking things back to the future, so to speak. In the early days of Bear With Us, it was you and I and your computer camera and a single microphone. And here we are again. Circumstances, lack of time have all led us to this point. And we're going to just do it from home.
We're doing it.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
We can do it and then we can go do it.
I don't have a car ride home to interrupt and screw that up.
I have a glass of wine in hand. I have my sweats on. I just got out of the shower. My hair is wet. I have two pimples on my face. But hey, who the f*** cares?
I counted three, but who's counting?
F*** you.
Wow.
You always point out my pimples. I hate that.
I feel like you, less and less, week after week, you might as well just start the show with an F-bomb.
We're so screwed because now like my guard is down even more because we're at home. So I feel like I'm not even really recording anything. So the things that are going to come out of my mouth are not going to be as good as the things that go in my mouth.
Wow.
That's where my head's at.
It's a whole new era for Bear With Us.
Now, welcome to Bear With Us After Dark.
Now, yeah. TVMASSC.
I love when I can genuinely make you laugh. That's my favorite thing. Because most of the time you roll your eyes at me or like say I'm stupid. But when I see you actually laughing at something I say, that's like, put it in the win column.
I mean, you picked a solid reference. You pulled a nice deep Cinemax After Dark reference, which I spent the early part of my formative years glued to my television. So I understand and appreciate it.
And try to like, well, I would have to do it when my parents were not in the room. And I'd be like, if they would come in the room, I'd have to like hurry up and change channel.
Yeah, you know? Channel back.
Yeah.
It was a great
invention. The last channel.
Did you ever have a television that if you tuned to the right channels, you could look through the
squiggles?
Yep.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. Every once in a while, you could always hear the audio, but every once in a while, you'd be like, oh.
It would be like really blurry, then for like 2 seconds, it'd be clear, and then it'd be really blurry. Oh.
Yeah, and it'd be like, oh my God,
a boob.
But also, my luck was also that usually when it did get unscrambled, it was in like the plot part.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Where it was like the guy getting out of his car and picking his pizza up out of the trunk and like slowly walking to the door. And I was like, oh, I hope it stays clear.
Well, they do that on purpose, I'm sure.
I don't know, man. Whoever scrambles those signals.
You're like, shit, I gotta see if she gets her pizza. So then you have to call and subscribe.
Right. I was like, is she a pineapple person or not? This is something I'm ashamed to ask you. At this point in our relationship, are you a pineapple and pizza person?
Yes, babe. I eat Hawaiian pizza. I make Hawaiian calzone. I know. Well, so that was those strombolis.
That was why I was pretty sure that you were into it, but I've never physically seen you eat one.
You guys, I make these amazing strombolis and I make them for every holiday. And well, I say it like as if I did it all the time, but for the last two Christmases,
twice, which I've is, done it. It's a streak.
And for any family gathering or party, like Super Bowl and things like that, I make them. And I make an Italian one and then I make a Hawaiian one. And they're the best when you're hungover on Christmas Day after partying all night, because that's what we do in our hotel on Christmas Eve. And the Hawaiian one, to die for, honey.
Yeah, so I was pretty sure that you liked pineapple because of that particular dish, but I wasn't sure because I know it's a very divisive subject.
Yeah, are you a pineapple?
I love a good Hawaiian pizza.
I don't understand why it's so controversial.
I don't know.
Like, to me, it's basically the same as having pepperoni or meatballs on your pizza. Do you like meatball pizza?
Sure.
I used to love hamburg pizza is what we called it where I grew up.
It made me giggle, and this is might be the best unintentional segue of your entire career here and going forward. This might be the best. And I know you didn't do it on purpose, but I noticed you occasionally, maybe your dad or someone in your family in the Boston region, you guys call them hamburgs.
Yeah.
Like y'all have cut the ER off the end of the sandwich.
Right.
The only other person I've known in my life prior to you and your family that referred to a hamburger as a hamburg. It's my grandfather.
But we don't actually call him a hamburg.
You've
it's
just
like
said
a,
it.
A hamburg pizza, which is basically just.
Right. I would call it a hamburger pizza.
But it's just meat, like hamburg meat. Hamburg.
Hamburger meat Hamburg. Made by like the Duchess of Hamburg or the Duke of Hamburg. I'm serious. I think maybe I'm making it up, but I believe what I'm saying right now. But I'm taking everything in a totally different direction. You mentioned my grandfather. Not going to make this heavy. Had all weekend for that. Lost my grandfather this past weekend. Super unfortunate. It sucks. Anybody who's going to, you know, grow up and live life, you lose those close to you. It doesn't make it suck any less. But, you know, I had to have a chance to grieve, got to be with family. We did the funeral thing all weekend. And I actually came away with it with a different appreciation, probably more of an appreciation for my grandfather. But I realized something that I had already known. My suspicions were confirmed, if you will, that my grandmother is the most gangster ass bitch that ever walked the planet Earth. My grandfather's last, basically what would turn out to be his last day, went to visit him with my brother, had a nice little chat. Everything was
in the hospital.
In the hospital. Yeah. Everything was as great as could have been, feeling optimistic leaving. And my grandmother and my mom and I, and my sister and brother are sitting in the waiting room. We started making jokes about my grandfather's affinity for whiskey, which I dare say is hereditary. Maybe my strongest trait that I've inherited, but he loved the whiskey. And we were like, we got to get him out of this hospital or at least sneak some whiskey into him. To which my grandmother rapidly replied, oh, no. Two steps ahead of you. And when I say two steps, she means literally two steps, because the first step, my grandmother attempted to smuggle whiskey into the hospital in my grandfather's underwear that she had packed because she knew he would be there for a few days. Unfortunately, the nurse or the orderly tried to organize my grandfather's things, opened up his bag that my grandmother had packed. The whiskey was discovered. They were caught red-handed. So my grandmother, in her infinite wisdom, devised a plan B, step two, if you will, where she provided a paper bag that contained a container of actual holy water that she brought into the hospital room. And obviously nobody's going to mess with my grandfather's holy water, except when my grandmother would go in to hang out with him and the nurse would leave, she would very stealthily reach into her purse and put the whiskey into the bag marked holy water and give it to my grandfather so that he could have his favorite thing in the world. And to me, that was like, holy cow, ride or die till the end. What a great woman. And then I do you one further at the actual funeral yesterday. I was making a joke, trying to console my grandmother, as you would. And I said, hey, think of the bright side. Pap's got all the whiskey he could want now. And she, always being a step ahead, smiled at me, took my hand and put it on his breast pocket of his suit, where she had provided a little micro airplane bottle of whiskey for a journey into the afterlife. And I was like, man, how cool is my grandmother?
That's a bad bitch. But that's, and then we got into this whole conversation, this rabbit hole of being like, well, that is that generation. My grandmothers were the same way. And it's just, you know, you do whatever you got to do for your partner and you make it happen. If you're told no, they find another way to make it work. And, you know, that's what women, I feel like back then, that's what they did. They provided for their partner. They did whatever, you know, whatever it was going to take to make it work. They're like the glue of the family.
Right. Right. And it's a weird thing. And I, looking back, obviously you can speak to this better than I can, but we always talk, but from time to time about like women's roles or our roles in our relationships. And obviously over the last 50 years or 62 years in my grandparents' case, the world's changed. You know what I mean? Women's rights have come a long way and they can do anything nowadays, but does it diminish how they came up with, because that was all they knew, or that was what they did. That was their role that was just kind of accepted in the world. Like, do you look at that now in the position you're in as a successful, independent woman who has carved your own path with or without a man? How does that sit with you?
I feel like that was always sort of not like instilled in us as kids, like my sister and I, but it was like, that's what we saw the women in our family do. All of the women right. in our family, our parents, our grandparents, our aunts, any woman in our family, they were the homemaker. Mm-hmm. They all worked. Like my grandmother was all worked and my mom works, but it's just sort of like, that's what you do. You take care of your husband. You take care of your partner, whatever it is that needs done. You take care of the kids, you take care of the partner, you work, you do it all. Whereas, you know, back then, you know, women might not have had the privileges that we do now, but it doesn't mean they didn't want them.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
But it also didn't make them any less important if you look, you have to look at it in hindsight.
Right. Back then, I think that they were even more badass because they wanted to do all these things. They were fighting all of these gender stereotypes, but they were fighting all that and still taking care of everyone.
Right.
And taking care of themselves. So it's just like, I don't know, to see where, I don't know, like to seeing your grandmother yesterday brings back memories of my grandmother and talking even with my meme, who's fortunately still alive. And it's, you know, she doesn't put anything over. She doesn't sweat anything. Everything is just, you know, women back then just didn't want credit for anything. They never did anything for people to be like, oh, wow, I can't believe you did that.
It's not that they didn't want credit. It was just they just didn't expect it.
That was just what they did.
Yeah.
Whereas now I feel like everyone, oh, did you see what I did? I did this. I did this. Look how amazing I am. I'm not saying women do that, but just
I think everybody does that. That's a societal does. Thing. Yeah, that's exactly. Not a gender not role anymore.
But I think back then it was, that's just what you did. And it didn't matter if people knew about it or not. And they were just willing to go the extra mile for their man, their family. And I think that women still do that. I'm not trying to take that away from what women do now. But it's just, I don't know, back then it was just so badass.
Yeah, but and again, everything's always sexier from the outside. Like sure. You look at it now and go, well, if everything was so wonderful, then why would we need to change? You know,
that we made the point yesterday. I said, you know, looking at all these photos that are showing at the funeral home and all that, of, you know, there were just photos of your grandparents all over each other, lovey-dovey and so happy. And, you know, you look at how, you know, what a hard time she was having yesterday. They would have been together 62 years.
62
that
years.
That in of itself, let's give that a moment of silence. 62 fucking years with the same person. They've had to have had issues. They had to have had problems.
Sure.
Were they like super happy all the 62 years? I'm sure not, but we don't know. Everything does always feel more exciting and prettier from the outside.
Sure. And you tend to romanticize, especially people that, you know, are close to you and you love and are influenced positively by. But I wonder, just as society has changed, as what we want as people and what women are capable of now versus 50 years ago, everybody's capable and there's all these different outside influences and social media and all these different things. Like, have we overcomplicated love and relationships as a society?
No, I just think nowadays people are able to compare everything more.
Right.
Like,
I don't mean intentionally. I'm wondering, because to your point, that was sort of what was expected of women at a time. And then it became, oh, well, women can work and also always kind of be in the glue. That's always sort of been the role as I've known it. But now there's all these different hats you can wear. And it's like, well, does it take away from the ability to have a 62-year marriage now? Because the world's just so different. Back then it was, I'm going to be a great homemaker and a great wife and make sure my man needs what he wants. And
gets what he wants.
But that was something like to hang your hat on. Now,
well, also back then people didn't get divorced. They stuck it out. The divorce wasn't an option.
You name it. That's what I'm saying. We could sit here for an hour and just name different ways in which the world has changed. But have we as a society, and I guess we won't know this until 82 years from now, is anybody capable of being married for 62 years, being married in this day and age?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm asking.
I'm not saying everyone will. I think everyone will. I think it's just, you know, you're divorced.
Sure.
You know?
Exactly. But if you'd have told me 13 years ago, oh, you're going to be divorced, I'd say, oh, you're crazy. I'm going to get married once and it's going to be forever.
Right.
But 62 years, that's unfathomable time in the year 2021. 62 years for anything.
We're at a point where we can recognize and realize that we deserve to be happy. Whereas for the longest time, it was, you just stick it out. It doesn't matter how miserable you are. You don't talk about it. You just throw it under the rug. You don't talk about your problems, your issues, your husband's cheating on you, whatever your issue is. You don't talk about it because it just has to look great from the outside, right? Oh, look at this perfect home we have, this perfect life we have. And that's what everyone did. And I'm sure that's what your grandparents did for a long time. My grandparents did.
Absolutely.
Both of our parents, sure, have been through something like that.
Right.
So nowadays, the positive, I think, of all of it is we're able to admit that we deserve to be happy.
Okay.
We deserve happiness. And it's okay if you're miserable in your marriage. If you're really it's not like, oh, I fucking hate how he chews with his mouth open, I'm going to divorce him. It's like a proper, if there's a reason why
that's
really
a real
are,
thing that happened to Leah. She doesn't like to talk about it, but that was it was an annulment, less of a divorce. It was
no, but my point is we're able to now recognize I deserve happiness. So you know what? It sucks that I'm going to have to get divorced, but that's what it is. And I'm going to be happy. And I think that is where we're at least as a society able to be somewhat selfish, and it's okay. Whereas for the longest time, it was like, no, you're being selfish. You have to put your family first. You can still put your family first, but you can't be the best for your family if you're not the best version of yourself. If you're miserable, if you're fucking hating your life, you're not happy at work, you're not happy at home, then you're going to make everyone else around you miserable. But if you put yourself first and you're happy, then everyone else is going to be happy. And that is okay to put yourself first. I'm a big advocate of putting yourself first, because then everyone else will be happy.
I don't disagree with any of that.
But I think that's what society is nowadays. Like, that's the one positive. Not that that's the one positive, but that is something.
That is definitely a positive on a human being level. But like I'm saying, at one point, it was almost expected that one of you, most likely generally was the wife, was going to be unhappy or out of your element. But seeing my grandmother this weekend made me kind of renewed my faith in that. Like, I know for a fact it made her so happy to do what made him happy or whatever he asked for or needed. So, you know, it broke my heart on a different level, but it was just kind of, honestly, as sad as the weekend was, I came out of the weekend with a few cool views and like appreciations for different things.
If I died, what would you put in my casket with me?
Oh my God.
Cause obviously I would put whiskey in your pocket. I would make sure you had gummies. He likes like gummy bears.
Yeah.
He loves gummy bears, like obsessed. What is something that you would be like, oh, I know Leah would really, well, first of all, I already told you, when I die, especially if it's within the next 40 years, I need a spray tan. I need my nails done. I need my eyelash. I need full glam. I don't want just the regular glam they put on you, like the cover your, like.
You don't want like funeral home.
I need like one of my girls to come in and give me full on glam. If my nails aren't done, I'm going to be so pissed.
I love that you've made this many plans as if there's any possibility on the planet Earth that I'm going to outlive you.
I mean, you never know. You really never know.
I mean, that's true. I might be on that Keith Richards plan.
Well, considering how much whiskey your grandfather.
That's what I'm saying, man. He was doing it till the very last day. So fine, I got those good genetics. I got those rock and roll genes.
So I just need to make sure you know that I need all of this.
I'll make sure
my roots are on, or at least put a wig on me or something.
Oh, you still
don't know what you would put it. Make sure I had.
Well, no. So my big problem with that question is I know how much you need and love options.
Yes.
So I would feel the need to put three of anything. Oh, I should give her a favorite snack. Well, there's this, there's that, the other. Well, she loves pretzel chips, but sometimes she wants buffalo. Other times she's an everything girl. I don't know. Basically, you would not have room for yourself in the casket.
Well, at least bury me with a bottle of wine.
Fair enough. That's good enough.
This was actually part of the conversation yesterday when we left the funeral, talking about
why you do what you do.
Yeah. My parents never had like friends growing. Not that they didn't have friends. They had friends, the only people they hung out with were our family. My mom comes from a big Italian family. So it was always my aunts, uncles, cousins. That was it. We never went and like, oh, mom's friend, we're going to her house tonight for dinner. It was never like that. And my dad doesn't f-ing like anybody. So of course he doesn't have any friends. So we never did anything like that. It was always our family. Whereas you say you grew up going, your parents always had parties. Like they would go to their friend's house all the time or vice versa.
I mean, you don't think a social butterfly like myself just comes out of thin air, do you?
Oh, you're a social butterfly.
I mean, listen, I know, but you're also very close with your cousins. And so I have kind of like one step removed on in every direction, but that's it. That's where the end of the line is. Cause I have a very small family that I was exposed to, raised with. But we always had friends over, and like, if anything was happening, there was always someone else there. If the football game was on, my dad would invite his buddy or the neighbors.
So foreign.
Or, you know, we'd be sitting on the front porch on a random night and, you know, one of the neighbors would come out and they'd come over and sit with us. Like, it was just, you just always had people around and you were talking and you just made stuff up and just got through. Like, it was, It was a whole bunch of bonding and quality time spent doing absolutely nothing of worth.
Yeah, I get that. But that to me is so foreign. And now, like, I've been doing like a lot of self-reflection lately and trying to figure out why I am the way I am, which is fucking perfect. I mean, let's be real. But to me, I'm like, why am I the way I am? It's because I never grew up around that. I was never exposed to going to this person's house or that person. It was always my Aunt Michelle or my Uncle Nick or all my cousins, stuff like that. It was never, and that's why I don't have a lot of friends these days. My parents always told me, you can't trust anyone. You can't trust friends. You can only ever rely on your family. Those are the only people that you'll ever be able to actually count on. And that's why I am the way I am. That's why I get anxiety when we go to, but I'm getting better. Can you say I'm getting better? You better say I'm getting better.
At what?
Being committing to plans when we make them.
Yeah, I will give you that.
B, being more social. Like, how many times I'm like, oh, we should have the Aaron and Danielle over. We can go do this. We can bring Jonna. We can, you know, I'm like being, babe, I'm being a lot more social the last, I would say, 7 or 8 months.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing
with you. Since last summer, I've really gotten better. And I'm proud of myself. I'm giving myself a little.
Is that a seal impression? Snacks. You balance a ball in your nose? Hey,
you at balance least... your balls on my nose.
Hey, babe, what's in the mailbag?
Is it already time for the mailbag?
Yeah, we've been going for a while. Mel's like, yeah, get the mailbag.
Here's the mail. It never fails. Let me start it again.
No. Go ahead. Try again, Trisha Yearwood.
Okay. Scene. Here's the mail. Hold on. Okay. This never happens to me. I feel like a guy who can't get hard. Okay.
Papo.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my little tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail.
Wow. I see what you did there. That was like, for a minute, I thought you were trying to get a spot with En Vogue, who's touring in 2021 in the summer, I'm sure.
I'm just trying to get a job on Broadway, okay?
Okay.
Question number one, honey. Hello, Matt and Leah. Love the podcast. Even though Matt hates on Home Alone, a Christmas movie. I agree.
Boo.
I have a couple questions. First, I've been with my girlfriend for almost 3 years, and throughout that time, she really has been my rock. But then there's times where I feel like I should let her go so she can truly get the happiness she deserves. Is that normal? Second question. She also has kids. This is my second time dating someone that has children. Is it normal? I don't really feel the same connection I did with the kids in my previous relationship.
Hang on. These are two heavy hitters. We got to compartmentalize.
Yes, let's do it.
Separate them. First question. Girlfriend, almost 3 years. She's been my rock, but.
Why does he think that she deserves happiness? Why does she think that he can't?
I don't know, Dr. Phil. Tell me.
That's what I'm wondering. I feel like you're selling yourself short. This guy that's writing this in, I feel like that sucks that he thinks that he can't give her the happiness she deserves. Like, I wonder if there's something, if there's like this hindering issue where he feels like he can't provide that for her, or if she's just not happy with him. Like, how do we know?
I'm going to just say they, for the sake of the name is not masculine nor feminine in either capacity. So either way, but for the sake of discussion, I agree with you. If there's been times that it's been intimated to you that you're not good enough, or you are constantly not enough in any capacity, whether you're not a good enough listener or lover or driver, or if it's an issue to you where you feel that way, I think at least you owe it to yourself and her to have the conversation and say, hey, listen, I really don't know if you feel this way, but this hurts my feelings. This is a point where honesty is of the utmost importance, and it may be something that is completely unintentional, just general neglect. I think a lot of us are capable of not willfully destroying parts of our relationship, but neglecting them.
Yeah.
I think we would agree with that. Nobody ever goes, oh, well, I'm going to just not pay attention to this part and it'll be fine. They tend to do that in any relationship. So I feel like if it's something that you're feeling, it's definitely worth raising that question and asking her, hey, where do we stand on this? And if she tells you, no, you suck at this, that, and the other thing, then guess what? Maybe it's time where you go, all right, I should move on. Somebody else will make you happier. But just because she intimates that she likes something that somebody else does, doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing less than.
Yeah, I mean, and he, like, where this person is saying that their girlfriend is their rock.
Right.
So if they're your rock, then you should be their rock.
Talk about it straight up. That's the only solution to this can be found by having the talk, whether it be just a conversation and a misunderstanding or, hey, yeah, it's really that bad. You need to go separate ways, but you have to talk about it.
And the second question about the kids, this person was in a relationship before where their partner had kids, and now this partner, their current partner, has kids and they don't feel as connected.
I'm deferring to you 100%.
But I think that that's normal, because now the first time you were ever with someone, you were connected with their kids, right? So that was the only thing you have ever known. So now you might be comparing the situation, but you can't compare the two. I don't know. I've never been in that situation. I've only been with one partner who has kids and I adore his kids. But there's obviously going to be ups and downs. There's going to be times where you feel connected. There's times where I feel super connected to your kids. And then we'll go a couple of weeks because we're at a pay-per-view, or maybe I'm visiting my sister or whatever it may be. And I feel like, oh, I feel so disconnected from them. So it's going to be ups and downs for sure. But all you can do, if you really love this person, you know, you're going to make it work, and you just have to put in the effort. Maybe you take a couple extra hours in a day to, you know, do something specific with them. It's just you and the kids or something. But I mean, don't let the kids be the reason why it's not working out.
And coming from somebody who is the one with the kids, if you're not feeling it, if you've put forth as much effort as you possibly can and you're still not feeling it, maybe it's time to look elsewhere. And I don't mean that in a cold way. I just know that if Leah or anybody else weren't to fully accept my kids, and yes, it's always a work in progress. There's never going to be a substitute for you know, the previous relationship or environment, because that's just how kids' brains work. So, but if they're not putting in the work to do, or if you've put in all the work and they're still not feeling it, it's time to split, but also put in the work first.
Yeah. You can't just be like, oh, I don't like how they talk to me about XYZ. Just let that go and move on. But if it's like a big issue, then you have to, you know, you have to be happy too. You can't just make sure the kids are happy and make sure your partner's happy. If you're not happy, that's not okay.
It's a total package deal, because if you and the kids are getting along great, but you and your partner aren't, that's a recipe for disaster for everybody. So this is another example of where honesty and communication are the keys. You have to have this conversation and just be open with each other about the whole thing. Since this is the Back to the Future version of Bear With Us, I am going to take a question from the mailbag.
Back to the future.
You're
back to life. Back to reality.
Really, those are the songs. You're talking about Back to the Future, and you didn't bust out a single note of Huey Lewis in the news.
What song is that? Just tell me, because I don't know if I know it. Tell me the tune. I don't know the name.
Baby, I love you.
Give me a couple of lyrics.
I love you so much.
Give me the lyrics. I don't know.
I'm gonna
sing it. See if I know it.
If just you don't know it, you don't know it.
But just, I don't know what it is.
It's fine. There's mail to be answered.
Okay, I'm Googling.
Emilio, our producer, just sent me a text of the name as though there wasn't even a doubt in my mind. I could tell by the look on his face in the computer that he was hurting as bad as I am.
Power of Love by Celine Dion.
I even told you it was Huey Lewis in the news.
And I looked that up. That was my last Google. I am not loving this right now. I'm feeling so hated on.
Well, listen, this is your option to
read the question.
This is your option to pull the nose up. To steer hard left, because there's an iceberg ahead, baby. This is your chance to be the hero.
So we're singing Titanic now?
Hi, Matt and Leah. I've loved you guys on my TV for a while now, but have...
I see you. I feel you. That is a part of...
What was that? Was that last line? A little... I'm sorry. Is there a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie? I've been in a relationship with a wonderful guy for nearly 2 years now, and he's absolutely perfect for me. He's everything to me, and I look forward to our future because I can't see one without him. Before him, I was in an emotionally abusive relationship and stayed for 2 years too long because the sex was great. Thankfully, I was able to get out and find the love of my life. He's been so emotionally healing, but sex hasn't been to the level I'm used to. To clarify, he's got a few issues, isn't in the mood a lot of the time. I also think his libido is a little bit lower than mine. I've told him that I'm good to go literally anytime and that he should make the move whenever he wants because I'm always ready, but that hasn't increased our sex lives. I don't know what to do because I have a higher sex drive and I find myself using toys more than him. I'm just not sure what to do from here. I don't want to make him have more sex than he's comfortable with, but he's leaving me wanting more. And I'm starting to fantasize about having a side guy solely for my sexual cravings. It's not that I want to or have any intentions of ever following through. I want my boyfriend and only my boyfriend. What's a poor girl to do?
Oh my God. This is like every girl's worst nightmare.
This is an amazingly written question. Thank you. I just want to appreciate the penmanship and the logic behind that. Thank you.
That sucks. Like, sex is very, very important. Especially, I don't know, as a woman, I feel like sometimes we're made to feel like, oh, I shouldn't want sex more than my boyfriend or my partner because, you know, that's like, stereotypically, the male is supposed to want that more.
But as we started the podcast 4 hours ago with, times have changed.
This is true. I don't know. I mean, you're saying that he has some issues, right? But maybe it's one of those things where you just have to entice him some more. I don't know if you put on something sexy. I don't know if it's you. Maybe you have to sit down and actually have a conversation and just be like, listen, I know that you're feeling this way, but I'm needing this. Like, I actually really need this. And if you're not having good sex and you're not connected, then your relationship is going to suffer. It doesn't matter how emotionally supportive he is for you. Because like you're saying, you're already fantasizing about looking elsewhere. So that's not good. Because then if you start acting on that, you're going to screw it all up. But you're also not satisfied. So you need to just be straight up with him and talk to him. And maybe he'll have a suggestion. Maybe he'll be like, sure, go find a side guy. I'm okay with that. Or maybe he'll say, well, then I need to set my game up. You don't know until you have the conversation.
Yes. But to piggyback off of what Leah said, I agree with all that. But do not act on the thought until at least you've had the conversation. Yes. The conversation is of the utmost importance and it's never fun. It's always kind of awkward. It's okay to approach it from like a jokey manner. Like, hey, wouldn't it be fun if we did this and see how he reacts? And also it's on him as a partner to go, oh, she's trying to have a legitimate conversation with me. And maybe he's going to go, you know what? I thought we had a great sex life. I'm sorry. What can I do? How can I help? How can I improve? He may go, look, I love what we got. I've got issues and I can't do it for whatever reason or another, but I still love you. In which case, guess what? That's why all these toys exist. That's why the internet and porn and all that is there. As long as he's supporting you emotionally more so than he is physically, don't do anything drastic, but it's up to you to have the conversation to where it's like, okay, hey, where are we? I would love it if you did this. And he may go, oh, wait, you're into that? Like, honest to God, the honesty might be a huge turn on for your partner, for anybody, not just you, the person who wrote the question, anybody. Be honest and say, hey, you know what? I thought about this thing once. Is there anything to that? And even if it's nothing, if it's just an idea, maybe it's a fantasy. Sometimes that's so hot, it'll just propel you in the right direction. And then you have a few days to buy at least before you have to have the conversation.
Yeah. And you don't want to be spending the rest of your life using toys. That is just not good for anybody. So you have to have the conversation, because if you don't, and you just keep pretending like everything's okay, then it's just going to go downhill quick.
You completely did a 180 on your face since the beginning of this question. And I'm very curious as to...
Because I just noticed another pimple show up on my
face. Oh, okay. So nothing to do with my sexual performance.
Well, no.
I was a little worried for a second because
I started this thing with like two pimples and now I just broke out.
Yeah, but you answered so coldly and matter-of-factly and like Patrick Bateman-esque.
I really realized I took it off the deep end with my singing and my Celine Dion and the whole Huey Lewis thing. So I was like, I need to be serious. Sometimes it can be serious.
Hey, baby, how fast do we have to go for me to end this episode?
Oh, Back to the Future.
Come on. How fast?
Marty McFly, is he in Back to the Future?
He is.
The Mandalorian? I mean, the Mandalorian. What is the car called? The car is
That's
called
a DeLorean.
Babe, I haven't seen that movie in so long.
Goodbye forever.
Bear with us. That's the power of love.